Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It is so good to be with you this morning. I had a great time at 8:30 church, and I love the 10:10, right? Way to show up at 10:10, way to gather because of the gift and the promise of life abundant. I pray that that is something that draws you not only here on Sunday morning, but fills you in your time of worship and then sends you into the days ahead. I appreciate the conversation this morning about Jesus' faithfulness, right? And how Jesus is with us wherever we go. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today, but that's really the guidance for me in my life of faith and in my role as Bishop of the Southeastern Iowa Synod. I greet you today on behalf of my colleagues, my team that I work with in the office of the bishop. Our office is in Iowa City. I live in Mount Vernon. I learned what I didn't tell at the first service, so I'm going to tell you now because I had lots of questions afterwards. So I live in Mount Vernon, so it was a lovely drive over. Some sun, some clouds, some heavy downpours, a little sprinkle, all of it in 2 hours' time before I arrived today. Our team is spread out throughout the Synod, and a good portion live over here in the Des Moines area, so you may see some of them here and there more than the others of us that live on that side, but together we serve you. We are 130 ministries in Southeastern Iowa Synod. These are congregations and campus ministries and a Synod-authorized worshiping community in the Davenport area, and together we share the good news of Jesus Christ. We do this through God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So our mission together aligns with your mission together, right? That guides you and sends you every week into your lives of faith. Oftentimes when I come and visit congregations, people say like, okay, thanks for being here. And people are very polite and they maybe have never heard of or know what a bishop is. So here's what the role of bishop is. I'm a pastor, just like Pastor Bob and Pastor Eliezer in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And I am called and was elected to serve among you as your bishop. What that means basically is that we have faithful pastors and deacons in all of these ministries, and I have the privilege to walk alongside all of you. So I'm the pastor to the synod. That does not mean I'm your pastor. You have fantastic pastors among you. But it does mean that I pray for you, that you are constantly in my prayers, you as a congregation, your leaders, your council, your staff, your pastors, so that together we can be doing the work of ministry that God calls us to do, so that more and more people will know Jesus. I think about my work in this way. I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not only mine to do, but it's what draws us all together, right? As children of God, as baptized children of God that are loved and gifted, we're sent out to share that love in the world. So I, like you, try to do my best at that in my life. Truth be told, I trip and fail and sin and all those things every single day, and the good news is that God forgives me. And what a gift it is to share that good news with the world around us. I also think about my work as equipping pastors and deacons and those that are experiencing the discernment to a call to ministry, but also equipping councils and lay ministers and professional staff. How is it that together we can serve and equip with all the gifts God has given us? And then we accompany. So we accompany congregations in transition. In fact, we're accompanying your congregation in a transition right now as you prayerfully discern with your call committee of potential associate pastor. Now, I know that at this time in the life of our church, we are not having a plethora of potential candidates coming our way, but that doesn't mean that we're not praying and waiting and knowing that the Spirit is stirring among us to bring somebody to serve in this place. Along with transitions, we accompany people in things like conflict, right? Even congregations have conflict, right? But we also accompany congregations when they're experiencing innovation, creativity, or new partnerships. And then we celebrate. I think that often we don't celebrate enough as the people of God. We have beautiful gifts to share in the world. And in my experience, we focus a whole lot on confessing our sins. And then we receive this beautiful promise of forgiveness, but we don't celebrate it. So I love to celebrate. I love to celebrate our commitment to Jesus. I love to celebrate Jesus' commitment to us. I love to hear the stories of your community of faith. Truth be told, before I come to a congregation on a Sunday morning, I always spend some time on the website to do a little exploring, right? I've been here a few times before. The last time in this space in worship was for Tim Jacobson's ordination a few years ago. Maybe I saw some of you here there then too. But more recently than that, I was here because Pastor Bob wanted to celebrate the ministry of the Fridge. And I was so glad to be among many of you that are volunteers in that ministry. And we were able to share that story with the whole synod to show how people can reach out. We have so many things in southeastern Iowa that are good, but one of our commitments that holds true is our commitment to people that are hungry, and that nobody should go without food. And so you here are a symbol and an example of making sure that people have food in their bellies. So thank you for that. I celebrate your pastors, your staff, your leaders. I celebrate the outreach beyond the Fridge to the community. I celebrate your gift of faith formation, not only for the littles in VBS week, but for all the generations. I heard talk this morning at coffee about the small groups and how they're so life-giving. So if you're not in one, I hope you find one, because they sound like good relationships and good learning and good connections. I celebrate your hospitality at the font, at the table, and at coffee. And I celebrate your generosity. In an announcement very subtly this morning, we heard a thankfulness for the ways in which you share and support the ministries of this place. There was a beautiful slide that showed you all the ways that you can give. And I'm so thankful that there's a practice of inviting and celebrating the opportunity to give at St. Mark, to remind us that out of what we have, we might share with others. And so you do that so faithfully in this place. You share for your own congregation to take care of the staff and the pastors and the ministries that you hold dear. But you also make sure that out of that abundance, your community and your neighborhood is supported. And out of that, you also give beyond yourselves to the Synod, to the Southeastern Iowa Synod, to support the ministry that we share in Southeastern Iowa. And I want you to know that your offering, along with all of the other congregations that give, 50% of that is shared with the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our whole denomination. Now, how, you might think? Well, we give that. That's a decision we make at assembly that we share abundantly. So we share 50% with the ELCA and another 14% with our seminaries, with our campus ministries, and with Lutheran services in Iowa. 64% of what we receive is given away. This is a beautiful opportunity to touch the lives of people in need, and I thank you for your partnership in that. We respond in faith. So at the last service, I forgot, and Pastor Bob reminded me that I forgot. And so one of the things that I do when I come to worship is that I take a selfie. Now, you're thinking, like, what does that look like? She's going to stand there and take a picture of herself? No, I'm going to turn around and take a picture of all you with me. And this is why I do this. Because, you know, some of you may have grown up at another church. Some of you may not have grown up in a church and found your way here because of the hospitality and the love of Jesus. Some of you may only know the inside of this space, right? Because it's your church, it's where we gather. we have many communities in southeastern Iowa and really across the globe where Jesus is celebrated every week, week in, week out, maybe on Sundays, Wednesdays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, right? And we gather. And so what I started to realize was I get to do this. I get to travel to a different congregation every week almost, except vacations, and I get to see your beautiful faces. I get to see the people of God in these different congregations. And so when I was elected bishop now almost 6 years ago, I started taking pictures. Now, I am not a big social media human. I only use the old people one, the Facebook. But there's a way in which we try to show these pictures, right? And if you're not friends or if you don't follow Southeastern Iowa, I invite you to do so or follow me personally, because what I find is that we see each other differently. Now, I take a few snapshots on a Sunday morning, but there's a way in which we can see the power of the Holy Spirit that draws us together, all in different communities and different contexts, and that the triune God is faithful everywhere. My favorite, most recent picture was when I was visiting Tanzania, our companion synod in the fall, and I decided that it was important for me to take a selfie there, right? So I was with my bishop colleague, and I thought he was thinking I had just lost it at this moment, because I get out my phone, I tell this story, I'm like, all right, everybody, bunch together, I'm gonna take your picture. And he just looked at me like, what are you doing? And the people loved it. And so I was able, across the sea, to see the beautiful children of God in the Mwanga Diocese of Tanzania, and for them to see our faces with their partners in the body of Christ in southeastern Iowa. It was gorgeous. So that's a long introduction. Bob is thinking, are we going to be here all day, Bishop? No, we're good. But what I would love is to invite you to stand. You can stay where you are. I might do two sides since I missed 8:30. And got to turn the phone around. I know about 0.5, but I'm not going to use it. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. And then 1, 2, 3. The beautiful thing, y'all, is that I will edit you out if you want. Go ahead. Have a seat. But truth be told, this is a big sanctuary. People aren't going to be able to see exactly who you are, but what they'll see is your smiles. And so thank you for indulging me in that way. We had a text read a while ago. Remember that? It was from Lamentations. This is the first time, I believe, in my almost 30 years of ordained ministry that I'm preaching on Lamentations. The reason is because of this beautiful series, My Story, My Song, that you will experience together for several weeks now this summer. When I was asked about what text to use today, I took out a little card that I have. It's a sticker, actually, that was, do you remember any of you, like, hymn boards in church sanctuaries where they used to have? Yeah. So it's one of those. It was great little activity at the churchwide assembly last summer, and I got this, and there's numbers, and I could pick my favorite hymn numbers and then put them on this card, so I have my own little hymn board. It's about this big. It sits in my desk drawer, and when I came home from churchwide assembly, I literally said to my spouse, here's this cute little hymn board, it's in my drawer, and if I die, these are the hymns for my funeral, because they're my favorites. And so he was just like, whoa. And I'm like, no, we should plan for these. And so I'm going to try to find you a little sticker so you can make your own hymn board. He was not impressed. But when Pastor Bob said, this is our theme, I said, oh, I know where to go, right? I'm not going to open the whole hymnal. I'm not going to think through every song that I've ever learned, because I really thought this through. And so I shared all of them, of course, because I'm me, and I, you know, always want to share all the things. But we decided on Great is Thy Faithfulness. Here's why. I probably heard Great is Thy Faithfulness in my life of faith a handful of times before. I'm sure that it might have been part of my childhood. My family had an 8-track tape player And like there were Statler Brothers and there was John Denver and, you know, all these things, but there was also gospel music, and I'm guessing it might have been there. But when it began to hit me in my heart and my gut was when I heard JJ's voice, deep alto voice echoing through a hospital ward in Edinburgh, Scotland. Morning by morning, new mercies I see was echoing down the hall as we planned to visit JJ and their children, Sasha and Kayla, as they sat with their dad and husband, Bruce. Bruce was a classmate or a colleague of my spouse. They were working on PhDs at the University of St. Andrews at the time, and Bruce had been vibrant and charismatic and fun to listen to, and he had a great project planned when all of a sudden he was struck with a blood disease. We're in a different land, and all of a sudden JJ and Bruce found themselves navigating a different medical system, and literally Bruce was facing the possibility of life or death. They were alone in many ways. And yet we had been knit together and connected as community, right? Students from really all over the globe had begun to find each other. And so as we walked down the hall, and we had been walking with JJ and Bruce and Sasha and Kayla, and we had been listening to them weeping some, calling out to God with their whys and the hows, and sitting with them in their loneliness and kind of the injustice of what was happening to this man that one day was alive and well, and the next, because of the disease he was experiencing, his skin was jaundiced and yellow, and his energy was low, and now he's in a hospital bed needing a transplant. And here's JJ, deeply connected to her gift of faith through the gift of song. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness would sing out in that ward and in the hallway on the way to surgery when a liver became available. And then in the weeks following the surgery in their flat, we would hear JJ singing, and then Bruce and Sasha and Kayla participating. And then when we were invited in, when it was safe to have people around at their table, and all of us that were friends would sing of God's great faithfulness through it all. Because we met JJ and Bruce and their girls in a time that was fraught with weeping and whys and hows and loneliness and injustice, because our story was shaped by that too. My husband and our two-year-old son at that time, who's now 26, and I arrived in Scotland for him to begin this PhD. We'd been pastors and he'd felt called to teach, which he does now. And we were just starting this new adventure of our life. We landed on September 10th of 2001 and woke up to 9/11. And in an instant, everything changed. We felt more lonely than we thought we would. The world suddenly was unfamiliar. In many ways, our experience as being Americans in a different land was a little suspect. And in some ways, we were afraid. Things were unfamiliar. We knew that we would be in a different culture, but all of a sudden, everything was a little off. And then we began to build community. We began to find these relationships with people like JJ and Bruce and others, and we built community together. I believe the Holy Spirit knit us together into community. And together we shared joy for sure, but we also shared lament. In that time of a couple years together, there was Bruce with his illness, and there were many, many miscarriages. We were all fairly young people growing our families, and so many of us miscarried, including ours. There was one infant death, Samuel died, and every time every time the gift of faith brought us the gift of song. And we would sing together through it all, "Great is thy faithfulness," JJ's hymn that became all of ours. Turns out that "Great is thy faithfulness" is from the very center of the Book of Lamentations. Now, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time in Lamentations, so I had to do a little work in remembering what this book was all about, right? It's a short one. Lamentations is 5 mournful poems about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, Solomon's temple, in 586 BCE. A long time ago, right? It's believed to be the lament of a Judean who survived and who stayed. Many were exiled into a different land, but it's believed that this person wrote this poetry as they were recognizing the destruction around them of their nation, of their city, and of the temple. Weeping, crying out with whys and hows, loneliness and injustice. And in the very center of those mournful poems comes our verses for today. In the midst of lament comes a gift of faith, a gift of song, because it's the gift of God's steadfast love. It's a reminder that God's wrath is limited while God's mercy and faithfulness and compassion is without limit. Without limit. God is always faithful, faithful even to the cross, right? Even to the cross. "Great is thy faithfulness" is God who gives God's only Son so that we will have life, so that we will be saved, so that the whole world will be saved, no exceptions. God's Son, Jesus Christ, meets us in this world. Jesus meets us in our joy, in our adventures, in our creativity. Sure, we see it, we hear it. But Jesus also meets us in our suffering, in our sin, in our despair. Jesus weeps with us, even to death. And in Jesus' death, death is destroyed, right? Because Jesus is resurrected to new life, so that God gives up God's life so that we might see that God gives life for all. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing, not even death. God gave Jesus so that we might see clearly that God did not come into the world. God did not create the world. God does not sustain the world so that it can be condemned, but instead so that God can continue to save the world. "Great is thy faithfulness" centers me. This hymn centers me in that love, in that promise, so that I am not centered on my own aspirations or my own pride or my own do-goodness, but instead, I'm reminded and come to the foot of the cross where Jesus is the one who sets me free. "Great is thy faithfulness" centers me not in my abundant faith, because I don't know about you all, but I doubt, I question, I wonder, I lament, I sin and turn away, and yet God is abundantly faithful all the time. "Great is thy faithfulness" centers me not only in my community, not only in people or family or congregations, because let's be honest, we as people fail each other. We sin and fall short, turn our back, stumble, fall, flub up all the time, but God's mercy endures forever. Great is thy faithfulness centers me not in creation, not in human creation, not in the ways that we think we can solve all the things, because my hope cannot be in me. And friends, my hope cannot be in us, because my hope can only be in God alone. From the first day of creation to the promise of salvation, and every single day in between, God's mercy is revealed to us. Every day. In the midst of our joy, in the midst of our despair, God is present and faithful. In every season, in every corner, in every glimmer of creation, by the grace of God, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. This is my story. This is my song. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, I give you thanks for your faithfulness. I give you thanks for your abundant love. I give you thanks for your mercy that endures forever. I give you thanks for speaking and breathing creation into life, for your promise of creation, for your promise to constantly be with us, among us, for sending us your Son, the incarnate one, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we might see and know that you not only promise us life, but that you are willing to live with us, among us, and join us in our suffering, in our sorrow, in our despair, and in our joy. Gracious God, we give thanks for the joy that you share with us in the life and death and resurrection of our Savior. And I give you thanks, gracious God, that you continue to stir and live among us, making all things new by the power of your Spirit. Gracious God, I pray that every person here, every person who lives on this earth would have hope, be filled with hope that your promise is true, that you are abundantly faithful every day, every season, every second, every minute, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. Thank you for your mercy in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.